Well, today we're concluding a five-week series, and we've been talking about the last days because there's a whole lot in Scripture about the last days. Man, you go all the way through from the Old Testament into the words of Jesus in the Gospels, what the Apostle Paul had to say, and then all the way right through the very end, the very last book of the Bible, Revelation, is all about the last days. So Jesus is not afraid. God is not afraid to have us focus our attention on things yet to come. And when we think about the last days, really, you know, we're caught with the understanding, you know, that many people from every generation have assumed, well, we're in the last days, you know, because, man, look how bad things are. And even if you were to go back over 100 years and think about like the First World War, can you imagine how many people, I mean, and just millions of people losing their lives and this being this global conflict, that of course people, especially those, you know, who read Scripture, man, they were believing we're in the last days. It could never get worse than this. And they were living in some hellish, terrible, terrible times. And yet, the world did not come to a conclusion. Jesus did not return at that time. Life went on, and then you get to the Second World War. And man, we have so much history and even captured in media and film beginning in that, you know, time where, I mean, the intensity of some of those battles and things going on. And of course, people felt like, man, we are in the end of days right now. This is it. Jesus, you're coming back. And yet Jesus did not come back at that time. And then we go through other eras and you know, the Korean conflict, Vietnam conflict. Then we get into more modern days and Gulf Wars. And then you have things like ISIS that rise up. And you hear of terrible things happening within our world. And then in our own lives, things can be very, very dark. And we could wonder, God, is this the last days? I'm sure that there are families in our country right now and thinking about what happened in Florida this week where it feels like the last days. And we've been looking through the lens over these last weeks just at one portion of Scripture where the Apostle Paul is talking to his spiritual son Timothy, and it's one of the last things that historians and theologians believe that the Apostle Paul wrote. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I gave you a handout today, which we don't always do, but I gave you a handout because I wanted you to be able to kind of reflect on some of what we've been discovering as we've read through 2 Timothy 3, and then right into the beginning of chapter 4. It's kind of a singular thought that runs through here, and as the Apostle Paul is sharing different things. But what we've really come to determine is this. Not everyone is going to face the last days. You know, those troubling times right before Jesus would return. Not all of us are going to face those, but we're all going to face our own last days. Those days of conflict, those days of trouble, those days when it may feel like we are living in the end times, in the last days. And so whether or not we ever see the last days or whether we just need to figure out how to live on our last days, we are committed to doing the very things that Scripture teaches us that we would be able to thrive during those times, not just live through them and not just try to hang on and barely survive, but really thrive in Jesus, no matter what era in which we are living. And so we've seen four things up to this point, and then we're going to get to the fifth one today, but take your notes there and kind of follow along with me. We started with the end of this passage, and we started with this concept that when we're going through the last days, if we're going to thrive, we need to start with heaven in sight. We have to keep our mind focused on the end goal because we're going to go through all kinds of conflict, all kinds of difficulty, but you know what we have to do is we have to keep the goal in mind. And that's exactly what we saw the Apostle Paul do with Timothy as he shared, man, I'm at the end of my race. I'm about to receive my reward. And no matter what we go through, no matter how dark the days get, we need to stay focused on the fact that there is a reward yet to come, and it is ours, every one of us that follow after Jesus and don't give up along the way. Second thing we looked at is that we must love others. That as things get more and more difficult and more challenging, the tendency that people have is to turn inward. It says that people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure, lovers of money, and they're going to be without love for God. I mean, it's a really bleak picture of everybody just kind of turning inward. It's all about me. It's all about what I can get. It's about like self-protecting. But what we're called to do, if we're going to thrive in these last days, is refuse that temptation to just like, you know, hunker in the bunker, and it's all about me, and it's all about my family, and it's all about what we can get, and just, you know, to hell with everybody else. We're just gonna like, it's about us. That is not how God has called us to live. We're to turn outward when everyone else is turning inward, and focus on how can we serve, how can we represent Jesus really well, even in days that are really dark and troubling. The third thing we looked at is that to thrive, we have to forge kingdom relationships. Really building relationship with other people who are thriving in Jesus so that we can partner together. And there's a beautiful thing in there about how Paul is reminding Timothy, Timothy, you know all about my life. We've built this relationship, so you know all about my purpose. You know all about how I love. You know about my faith. You've even watched me go through some of my darkest days. But I haven't given up, Timothy, so I know you can make it too. Man, we need friendships and relationships like that. We've got to do that in order to thrive. And then last week, we looked at this number four, that we need to breathe in God's word. We need to breathe it in. Not only do we need to build these kingdom relationships, we need to build this relationship with God's word. We're going to be talking a little bit more about that this morning, but then we're going to get to this number five. And so if you've got a pen, pencil, I think there's pencils in the seat backs there. Maybe you have a pen. Here's number five that we're going to be focusing on today. You ready? Yes. Keep your head on straight. Keep your head on straight. And this is all about focus. This is all about the when others are wandering away from the truth. And the more challenging things become, people are prone to wander. People are prone to say, man, I'm going to just go searching for whatever. Wherever it seems like I can like have my itching ears tickled, I'm going to go in that direction. And when the world is wandering, we need to stay focused, keep our head on straight. So I want to read with you this passage, and it's there in your notes, and it's going to be up on the screen. This is the last passage we're going to be looking at from out of this section. It's 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to be reading the first 8 verses, but we're going to stop in the middle and have some conversation. So the first verses of 2 Timothy 4, Paul writes this. He says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct and rebuke. And we're kind of like, man, yeah, that, I guess that's what God's word does, man. It rebukes me, it corrects me, and man, sometimes I'm just tempted to just like point my finger in someone else's chest, pound really hard and say, man, that's what God's word said. But it doesn't stop there. Yeah, the word does, corrects us, rebukes us. But then it says to encourage with great patience and careful instruction. So let's stop there. Let's pause there for a few minutes and look at that little section. Then we'll keep going in this passage. First, you know, he starts out by saying, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead. And what he's saying there is, again, he's pointing to those last days. When is God going to be the judge? Well, after the last days have happened. So all the way at the end of our human history, Jesus is going to be the righteous judge. So he kind of points us back to, I'm talking about the end of times. He says, in view of all of this, I give you this charge, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. He's saying, in light of the last days, guys, here's what I want you to remember. Be all about God's word. Preach the word. Because so many voices are calling for our attention. So many voices. I mean, when you think about just the voices that we have to kind of filter out in our own minds. So many voices. Man, there's the voices in the media. Whether it's from news or some movie star that thinks they've got the greatest insight that you need to understand about, and we're reading about it in People magazine, and we got the news on. All of those kind of voices in the media. There's the billionaire business leaders who, because of their money, they have a platform, and so they're saying, you know, what it is that we should, you know, how we should live, or the thoughts about humanity in this world. Professors, right? Professors, teachers have a voice into our lives. They're speaking things that we hope are true, but man, they have so much influence. Poets, priests, and politicians, right? Somebody give me a beat. Poets, priests, and politicians, pastors, even your mama has something to say about the way you should live your life and what's happening in our world today. But in the midst of all of these voices that are getting louder and louder in the last days and trying to say, no, this is how you should think and this is the way that we should be approaching something, Paul says to Timothy, in light of all these things, keep yourself focused on what God's voice has to say. Preach the word. Stay focused on the word. We need to be so filled with God's word that it just spills right out of us in good times and in troubling times and in the last days. In fact, it says in the scripture just prior to this that we looked at last week, it says that all scripture is God-breathed. God-breathed. And we need to live in such intimate closeness to God's word that literally when God breathes something out by the power of his Holy Spirit through his word, that we're so close that we breathe it in deeply, so that that word comes through the deepest parts of who we are and makes its way into every cell in our being. As oxygen is important for our physical life, so God's word and the breath of the Holy Spirit through the word needs to come in and move through every part of our life, every part of our story, every part of our being. There's not to be one ounce of this that is devoid of something of the breath of the living God that is spoken to us through his word. Breathe in God's promise and watch it drive away hopelessness. Breathe in God's love and allow it to sing of his acceptance of you. Breathe in God's grace and watch it push back every lie that you need to somehow earn God's favor. Breathe in the power of God and realize that at his whisper, all darkness must flee. Breathe in God's word. All scripture is God-breathed. And if we're breathing in God's word, then our preaching is simply exhaling. It's simply repeating what God has said. Preach the word. Breathe it in so deeply that it impacts every area of your life, so that we don't call God's word somehow into discredit, where people are pointing at our things in our lives saying, well, man, I don't see God's word effective in your life over here. You're living as screwed up as I am. You're all jacked up like me. So that's why we need to breathe in God's word, right? So that it comes deeply into every area of our life. Every relationship is impacted. Every part of who and what we are. And then we breathe it out. We preach the word. We allow it to come right out of us in a way that is going to be effective and meaningful in the lives of others. Breathe it out. And then he says to do this, not only in season, but out of season. He could have just left out the in season, because that's when it's easy. That's when it's like you're just sitting around with a buddy and they already are convinced that God's word is true. And you're like, oh man, isn't this good? Look what I found. And you know, man, the discoveries of what God is showing me in his word, they just flow out real easy. That's when it's in season. Everything is in your favor. Everything is going good. Everything is smooth. But he says, preach the word, be prepared, not only in season, but out of season. When things are out of whack, in the day of trouble, when things are out of their minds, when things are out of order, we still breathe in God's word, and then we exhale and we proclaim God's word. This is what God's word has said. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. He will not count my sins against me. He has prepared a place for me, has set a table even in the presence of my enemies. I'm telling you, we breathe it in and we breathe it out. Not only when it's easy, but in the last days, the last days. So why is Paul saying this? Why is he having to remind Timothy, man, stay focused on the word. Breathe it in, breathe it out. Let's go back to that scripture and we pick it up in verse 3. He's just said, preach the word in season and out of season. And then we get to the why. And starting in verse 3, Karen, go to the next slide. It says, for the time will come. Here's why. For there's a time coming. Last days kind of time. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head on straight. He says, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. See, when trouble comes, people tend to self-protect. They want to insulate themselves from all of this trouble going on in the last days and all this pain and conflict that's happening. So people, it's a natural thing. We try to kind of protect ourselves, right? And what's happening here is in this whole conversation about the last days, Paul is saying, listen, this is what people do when it comes to the truth. They don't want to deal with the truth. They don't want to deal with that rebuke and the correction that comes from the Word of God. They just want to be comfortable. They just want to feel all at ease about their life and their situation and even the decisions they're making. So what do? They find a whole lot of people who will tell them exactly what they want to hear. And he says it's to suit their own desires. So because when we looked at the beginning of 2 Timothy chapter 3, it said, you know, people are going to be lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. They're going to be people who love pleasure, love money, love those things. Well, all you do is, man, you find a preacher, find a voice that like says, no, that's okay. You can have all the money you want. In fact, God just wants to give you anything that your little heart desires. Doesn't matter whether it's God's desire or not. If it's your desire, God wants. I mean, you can find somebody who will preach that to you. Or you'll find people who will maybe proclaim that, man, you're never going to have to go through a hard thing if you just turn your heart to Jesus. Well, that's not what God's word says. We need to be very careful about the voices that we listen to. We need to stay focused on the word. Keep your head on straight. Stay focused. But people try to self-protect. And when we do that, man, we forget our mission. We forget our assignment. We forget why God placed us here on this earth. Today, like never before, people have the greatest opportunity they've ever had to gather around them voices that will suit their own desire. And that's because of the access we have to media. I mean, all you need is a smartphone and you're connected to voices all over the world. Multiple religious options. Multiple voices, you know, who are telling you, you know, imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky. I mean, imagine a world like that. How wonderful. Because of course, every spiritual pursuit leads to conflict and leads to people with guns and knives doing terrible things around the world. So religion or the pursuit of God must be evil. I mean, we hear those kind of voices. They're throughout so much of society. But people will gravitate towards that which is easy, that which suits their desire, that which brings them comfort. More and more so as the days get more difficult. And life includes more trouble. People will try to insulate themselves and self-protect with the voices that surround them. And it says that they will turn away from sound doctrine. What is sound doctrine? And we could talk about lots of doctrines. I mean, we could talk about the doctrine of angels. We could talk about the doctrines of finance. And we could talk about the doctrines of lots and lots of things. But I really believe that when Paul is talking about they're going to turn away from sound doctrine, he's talking about the very thing that is core to our beliefs as followers and disciples of Jesus. And that's the gospel. It's the good news. And it's really simple. The good news of the gospel is not confusing. The good news of the gospel is that I am broken and I need a savior, and that God has provided a savior through the person of Jesus Christ. God coming as man to live a sinless life that sacrificed himself for my forgiveness, that I can turn my life over to him and put my trust in him and trust what he has already accomplished on the cross, because I cannot earn my way into God's favor. I cannot earn my way into relationship with him. Yes, it's the power of the gospel. And when he says that people turn from sound doctrine, the focus of the core of the gospel and turn aside, he says, to myths. What is a myth? A myth is anything that either adds or subtracts from the gospel. Anything is that it's Jesus plus something else. And listen, there are people in our own community and all around the world who I believe have a sincere desire to have a relationship with God, and yet they are, it's the gospel plus something else. It's like they have to knock on so many doors and share their version of spirituality, or they have to stand on a street corner and try to get you to talk about their magazine or whatever it might be. Or wear some garment underneath their clothing. You know, I mean, you know, not calling out names, but you kind of know what I'm talking about. Listen, I mean, but where people believe that it's Jesus plus something else that they have to do. It's a myth. It's a myth. In fact, if we were to go back just a few chapters and get into 1 Timothy, Paul said this to Timothy, he said, stop those whose teaching is contrary to the truth. Is 1 Timothy 1, 3 and 4. Stop those whose teaching is contrary to the truth. Don't let them waste their time in endless discussion of myths and spiritual pedigrees, who's more important than the other person. These things only lead, listen, to meaningless speculation, which doesn't help people live a life of faith in God. Stay focused. Keep your head on straight. Stay focused on sound doctrine. Paul's saying keep the main thing. And don't get sucked in to these conversations that, oh, they sound so important, they sound so meaningful. And listen, there's even myths and controversies about the last days. Some people believe that God is not going to let any of his followers suffer some of the catastrophic things that we read about, like in the book of Revelation and elsewhere. And you know, those people are known as pre-tribulation believers. And guess what? You can go to scripture and say, yep, look, we are going to be rescued and raptured by Jesus before any of that hard stuff happens, pre-tribulation. And then there's other people who go, no. Let me show you something else in the Bible, because the way I read it, man, we're going to go through a mess of trouble. Man, the tribulation is going to happen. We're going to get all messed up along with the whole world, and God's putting this there to be salt and light. And those people are called post-tribulation believers. And then there's other people. They're not pre-trib. They're not post-trib. They're pan-trib. It's all going to pan out. It's all going to pan out. Don't worry about it. But see, but we can get so caught up in what they are, is they are conversations that are not central. It's not keeping the main thing, because we know from God's word, the last days are going to happen. Jesus said, no one knows the date or the hour. So put your seatbelt on and keep your head on straight. Because there's going to be a whole lot of opportunities to get all flustered and into conversations. And it certainly doesn't stop at the end times. And listen, in a few weeks, we're going to be in a series where we're going to go to Genesis chapter 1. Okay, well, did God create the world in 7 literal days? Or did God create the world over 7 periods of time that were referenced by? Listen, you know what? None of you were there. And neither was I. Keep the main thing, because it's the person of Jesus Christ who saved us from our sin, who died on the cross in our place. I'm not saying that those other conversations don't have a place and aren't important in certain contexts, but listen, we can get so caught up with the secondary things, and here's a big $3 word, or even the tertiary things. Come on. Don't tell me you didn't learn anything in church today. Primary, secondary, and then tertiary. We can, listen, and you've met people that have gotten so caught up in these other things that they forget that there's the main thing, and it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Preach the word. And then he finishes with this beautiful statement and is down towards the end of your notes there. There's that little grid that I gave you, because he says these four powerful things in this last statement. It's in verse 5 of 2 Timothy 4. He says, but you, Timothy, don't get messed up and carried along by all these things. He says, keep your head in all situations. No matter how bad things get, no matter how much you want to look to the left or the right, don't do it. Stay focused. Stay focused. And then he says these other three statements. And I believe that they actually flow out of that first one about stay focused. He says this, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. And so I kind of put it into some, maybe some easier terms there for us to think about. But here's why I believe that those flow out of that first one about keep your head on straight. Because I think what happens is if we don't keep our head on straight, those other three things are very quickly forgotten. When hardships come and when trouble comes and we're facing last days realities of things that are just really painful and difficult, guess what we don't do? We don't endure hardship. We give into it. We fall prey to it rather than endure it and say, I'm not going to give up. No, people tend to, when things get really hard, what do? They give up. They lose focus. They blinked, right? And life went right on by them or surrounded them and took them out. So we're to endure hardship. Another thing that happens when we are facing difficulties is that we fall silent. We're like, man, I don't know. Is what God said really true? Is that really, really accurate? And so when hard things happen, sometimes we get silent. When he says, do the work of an evangelist, he's just reminding him what he already said. Breathe in God's word, breathe it out. Preach the word. Do the work of an evangelist just means like share the gospel. Remind people that, hey, this is who God is and what he's done for us. Yes, things are really bad right now. But guess what? When things get really challenging, if we don't keep our head on straight, we just forget all that. We forget how important it is to remind people about the work of Jesus on the cross. And then the last thing, when it says, you know, discharge all the duties, you know, it basically is reminding him, hey, you have a calling on your life. I've made you in a certain way, God says, and don't forget it. And when things get really challenging, it's really easy to forget that he's given us a ministry. He's made each one of us uniquely suited to care for people, whether it's in our role as a parent, whether it's in a role of where we are at work, whether it's in a church environment, whether it's in our neighborhoods. But God has given us a ministry. And when things get really tough, you know, one of the first things to go is like, man, I don't got time for that. I just got to like self-protect. And it's all about keeping my life together and my life secure. And so Paul says, don't forget you have a ministry. Stay focused. Don't give up when it's hard. We're called to endure. And this is in your notes, a little fill-in. We're called to endure and grow mature. Endure and grow mature. There's only one way to mature and to grow strong, and that is through persevering and enduring, even when times are really challenging. And I put there in your notes, James 1, 2 through 4, and there's a lot of scripture that I included in there that we're not going to look at in particular today. That's kind of like your home play environment. I don't want to call it homework. That's your home play kind of thing. Get home and look up some of these scriptures and see what God's word has to say about this. The second thing is that we're tempted when things get tough, and if we lose focus, we'll stay silent about Jesus. But we're called to keep the gospel on our lips. Keep the gospel on our lips. Share the good news. Preach the word. And when you look up Acts 1:8, you're going to even see that God has given us his spirit to empower the gospel being shared as we become his witnesses. And then this last thing is that when we lose focus, we can forget our assignment. But we were called to do what we've been made to do. God made each of us with a very specific mission in mind. And when we lose focus, we can forget that so easily.